Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with Charlie Goldsmith. It is divisional round playoff week as we get ready for the Bengals to face the Tennessee Titans in Nashville on Saturday, the first game of the NFL second round of the playoffs. It has a ton of star power coming into this matchup with all that the Bengals offense possesses in Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon. And then for the Titans, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and some of their premier defensive players in Harold Landry, Justin Simmons, and Kevin Byard. There is a ton of talent on the field. The Titans were able to get a bye week because they finished as the number one seed in the AFC, and the Bengals are coming off of a thrilling win over the Raiders. They were obviously leading the Raiders for a majority of the game, but the game got close at the end, but the Bengals were able to pull out. The Titans, let's talk about them, Charlie. Them being able to get the bye week in that final week of the regular season by beating the Texans was huge because the Titans, when you go through the numbers, and I think this is a big reason why a lot of people think Mike Vrabel should win Coach of the Year. The amount of injuries the Titans have had to their starting roster has just been insane. I saw a stat that at one point they had fielded 82 players, which was two players shy of the league record of a team having to field 84 players a couple years ago with the 49ers. So the fact that they are the AFC's number one seed and lost all the players that they did at one point, A.J. Brown missed time, Julio Jones missed time, and of course, Derrick Henry, the big headliner, missing multiple games. That bye week was huge because just like the Bengals, the Titans are very healthy, and it's going to be best on best at Nissan Stadium on Saturday.
What this matchup reminds me of is a line that Zach Taylor has harped on throughout the year before games against teams like the Steelers and the Ravens. He says, you are who you are. Your offense is your offense and your defense is your defense. And I don't think any team captures that picture more than the Titans. They stayed the NFL leader in rushing attempts, even when Derrick Henry was out. They stayed without a blitz-heavy approach overall, even when injuries hit the defense. Their kind of signature thing defensively is rotating their safeties all around the field to help disguise looks, and they have the talent to do so. That's been consistent all year. It's a very consistent approach from the Titans, with the exception of some defensive personnel changes that they made. It's a very similar Titans approach to what the Bengals saw in 2020 last season, except this obviously is a much bigger stage here in the playoffs.
Yeah. So let's spend some time talking about the Titans, and let's start with the defense first. Mike Vrabel, the Titans head coach, is obviously a defensive-minded head coach. Spent a lot of time in Houston kind of developing his coaching strategy. And when he was in Houston, he worked with some top-tier pass rushers, obviously in J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, the list goes on. And he actually coached D.J. Reader. And D.J. Reader couldn't have spoken more highly of Vrabel and his time when they were together in Houston. They want to get after the quarterback, and they added Harold Landry through the draft, a former Boston College standout who has come in and made a difference for them, leading the way with 12 sacks. And then they have Jeffrey Simmons in the interior, who has 8.5 sacks. That's a lot of sacks for a defensive tackle. And they obviously added Bud Dupree in free agency, who Bengals fans are very familiar with his time in Pittsburgh. But he's had kind of a down year with only 3 sacks, also dealing with some injuries at some point. They want to get after quarterbacks, as you mentioned. And then on the back end, they've got some premier players in the secondary led by veteran safety Kevin Byard, who has 5 interceptions himself. That is a ton of interceptions for one player. So I think ball security and how the Bengals protect Burrow on offense are going to be huge. When you looked at all of the film that you watched and what you've seen from the Bengals this year, Charlie, what do you think Zach Taylor's game plan is going to be against this Titans defense?
I think that the Bengals have done such a good job making mid-game adjustments with the routes that they use and the timing that they use to rely on the pass game. my lasting memory of the Bengals versus Raiders game from last week is going to be all of the timing and anticipation throws Burrow made outside the numbers to Chase before Chase even had his back turned. And then that one on a kind of secondary routes on a similar scheme to Uzam over the middle later in the game. I think that there's going to be even more opportunities for that in this game. I think that the Titans pass rush has an elite pass rusher on the inside in Jeffrey Simmons. I think that their edge rushers rank 91st and 92nd in PFF grade in pass rush grading. And also, when you look at the amount of pressures the Titans have had as a whole, it's a high number. But when you look at the rate, teams have been throwing against the Titans a lot because they have been losing a lot. And the Titans overall actually rank below average in what they've done in pressuring the quarterback consistently. So I see more opportunities for Joe Burrow in that area to be more creative, to have more opportunity to be a freelancer on early downs, and then get an even greater opportunity to showcase his chemistry and his timing with the Bengals receivers.
Mm-hmm. And I think the key for the Bengals against this Tennessee team, just bringing up what you just said, is getting off to an early lead against the Titans. The Titans have the type of team where if they are able to get pressure on Burrow and get some sacks, potentially get, you know, a forced fumble, force Burrow into an interception, they are the type of team, if they can start teeing off on Burrow, they are very hard to deal with. And knowing on the other side of the ball, their entire offense is about bleeding the clock out and running the offense through Derrick Henry. So I think it's especially important for the Bengals to get out to a hot start against the Titans and not make this become a game where they're just absolutely teeing off and trying to get after Burrow. So on the other side of the ball, let's talk about the Bengals defense. I know you have some thoughts about what they could potentially do to slow down Derrick Henry. But at the end of the day, Derrick Henry is going to get his. He's one of the, I think he is the best running back in the league. Obviously, the numbers prove it. But what would you do if you were Lou Anarumo and you said, I got to stop Derrick Henry and make sure that he doesn't wreck the game?
First, I have one big question that I don't think we're talking about enough with this game. Imagine if the situation were reversed and it was Joe Burrow or Ja'Marr Chase who hadn't played in 3 months and you weren't sure what the snap count was going to be, what the explosiveness was going to be, what the agility was going to be, and the speed as well. I think Derrick Henry is a big question mark in this game, but I don't think the Titans' game plan is a question mark at all. They still led the league in rushing even without Henry. Regardless of how much of a platoon there is between Henry and Foreman, the Bengals are going to sell out on stopping the run. I'm expecting multiple three defensive tackle looks in there with an edge rusher plus a linebacker on the outside. It's what they did last year, using Jermaine Pratt as kind of a run blitzer and then bringing Von Bell up into the middle of the field and kind of pretending that he's a linebacker. The Bengals will sell out in stopping running lanes because that's what the identity of the Titans offense demands you to do.
Yeah, and Logan Wilson saying you got to be ready for the stiff arm with Derrick Henry, and that's something that they certainly probably practiced this week. Let's talk a little bit more about the Titans' run game. Derrick Henry, only playing in 8 games, finished the season with almost 1,000 receiving yards, which is just insane if you think about it. He had 937 yards and 10 touchdowns in just 8 games. I think where he's going to make his biggest impact is in the red zone. Obviously, the Bengals were good against the Raiders in the red zone, a big reason why they were able to keep that win. But the Raiders weren't trying to attack the Bengals defense in the way that the Titans are down in the red zone. So I think how the Bengals are able to defend Henry and Foreman in the red zone is going to be huge. Obviously, let's talk about the receiving threats that Ryan Tannehill has. We just mentioned that the run game is the biggest part of what you have to stop with the Titans, but Ryan Tannehill can make plays when necessary. The Titans basically went all out in free agency this year, saying we think we can really make a shot at the Super Bowl by signing Julio Jones. They made a trade with the Falcons to acquire Julio Jones to pair with A.J. Brown after they lost Corey Davis last year. So A.J. Brown continues to be the guy down there. Another impressive season for him, 105 targets. He missed a couple games with an injury, only played in 13 games, but finished with 869 yards and 5 touchdowns. Julio Jones only played in 10 games, but rounded it out with 434 yards and just one touchdown. Are there any other players on the Titans offense, Charlie, outside of Derrick Henry that you think could be potential game wreckers for the Bengals?
Not necessarily a player, but a character in the Titans offense is their play action scheme that you mentioned, how they set up the pass game. It's notable that their play action passes average efficiency basically dropped by a yard when Henry went out. It'll be interesting to see how much of that was teams not stacking the box as much versus the Titans taking a step back in that area. Overall, though, because of how the Bengals are going to stack the box, this makes it a huge Jesse Bates game. Bates, I think, had one of the best games I've seen him play when they played the Titans last season. Had an interception in the red zone, played as much cover one as or as much single high as I'd ever seen him play. If you're going to stack the box, you need a single high safety over the top, roaming the entire field, basically. Jesse Bates' strength is his ability to cover a lot of space, and there's even greater emphasis on him in this matchup for that reason.
And I actually talked to Jesse this week, and for Bengals Beat podcast listeners wanting some more content ahead of the game, check out this story on Jesse Bates because it's a good one. He talked about just kind of how he's navigated what's been a really tough professional season for him. He hasn't had the stats that he was hoping for in a contract season, and it really started to get to him at the beginning of the season, but he stayed the course and he ended up having his best game of the year against the Raiders last week. And I think he needed that confidence boost, and you saw the type of impact he had against the Raiders. So if he's able to play like that against the Titans, that could be a huge boost for the Bengals on defense to get consecutive weeks of that kind of play from Jesse Bates. The Bengals will have Trey Hendrickson this week. It was up in the air following the game on Sunday as he had a concussion against the Raiders, but he was able to clear concussion protocol and was at practice every single day this week. He was limited to start the week, but moved to full. That's a huge deal for the Bengals because without Trey Hendrickson, their pass rush would significantly lose talent because they're already also heading into this game without interior defensive lineman Larry Ogunjobi. How big do you think the loss of Ogunjobi will be in this particular matchup, Charlie?
Well, Ogunjobi has a unique set of skills. Like, he was a nose tackle before this year, believed he could be a three technique, and then ended up being the Bengals' best interior pass rusher. Obviously, that's the combination of the run-stopping skills you need to be a nose tackle, plus the three technique pass rushing skills that you need on third downs in particular. I think they'll replace him with the rotation. Josh Tupou has frankly impressed me all season since training camp against the run. He is just a steady, reliable run stopper with as much experience in this Bengals scheme as anyone. And I think, assuming he's healthy, he's going to be a big part of the game plan. And then the flip side of that is I'm expecting more third down rotation, which they hadn't done as much before Ogunjobi got hurt. I'm expecting either Cam Sample or Sam Hubbard to slide inside on passing downs when needed to try to use an edge rusher's athleticism to make up for the power that Ogunjobi can provide as a pass rusher on third downs.
Yeah, his loss is a big one because, like you said, he was able to really complement DJ Reader inside. But this is a game where I think you're going to be hearing DJ Reader's name a lot. And he's quietly put together a very solid season for the Bengals. You don't talk about him much because the position he plays and he doesn't get all the sacks. But that's not why the Bengals brought him here. They brought him here to revamp their run defense, and DJ Reader's been a very big part of why the Bengals have been so good against the run. Throughout the season, the Bengals were a top five rushing defense, so I'd imagine they will play well against this Titans rushing offense, and they'll certainly need to. All right, Charlie, let's make some picks as we close this episode out. The Bengals are hitting the road. They've been pretty good on the road this year for the most part when healthy. Do you think they go into Nashville and upset the AFC's number one team, and why?
Yeah, I think because of the uncertainty with Henry, I think Burrow and Chase are the two best players on the field. I think they're the most consistent, reliable source of offense with the Bengals passing game overall. I think that Higgins is going to have a mismatch over Janoris Jenkins, someone who doesn't have the same physical presence at the line of scrimmage and has a 4 or 5 inch height disadvantage guarding Higgins. I think this is a game where the Bengals use that Ravens Chiefs pass heavy game plan. And I think this is just another brick in Burrow's arrival with a win on the road at Tennessee.
That's a good pick. I am going to go the other way. I think that the Bengals season comes to an end on Saturday night. Sorry to upset any listener who is now angry with me saying that, but I read a stat the other day and this kind of made me think, all right, I should really consider, do I think that the Bengals will be able to win this game? Mike Vrabel is undefeated. I believe he's 8-0 when coming off of a bye week. I think having covered a number of years of NFL playoffs, that bye week is huge. More often than not, does the team that gets a bye as the number one seed end up being able to advance pretty far? I remember how hard the Packers this year were saying that that is huge. The Titans the whole time have said how important that number one seed and that bye is. There's a reason why all of those teams were trying to play for it, including the Chiefs, when the Bengals beat them. I think that Derrick Henry, despite being out, is a freak of an athlete, and I think he is going to be healthy and ready to go, and I just trust the Titans. I think when Mike Vrabel gets these guys ready to play, I mean, I remember being in attendance when the Titans upset the Ravens a couple of years ago when everybody thought the Ravens were a sure bet to make it out of the AFC. I think that Derrick Henry is a mismatch for this defense, even though they've been good against the run. And I just think ultimately the Titans' pass rush will create too many problems for Burrow and Co. to overcome. I do think it's going to be a close game. I'm going with more of like a 24-17 type of game just because I think it's going to take both teams a little bit to figure each other out and score. But with that being said, that's my pick, but I do think it's going to be a good game. And who knows, if every time I've thought that the Bengals haven't been able to really block their opponent, they've been able to figure it out. So who knows, that could very much be a different story on Saturday, but that is what I'm going with. All right, well, now that Charlie and I made our picks for this week's game, we're going to bring in Jason Hoffman to talk about the rest of the games that are taking place in the NFL on this divisional round weekend. Let me tell you about the new sports app we've launched as part of our USA Today family. USA Today Sports Plus is the new sports app that puts the fans first. Get the latest scores, stats, and standings, and enjoy interactive experiences with our award-winning sports writers. Download USA Today Sports Plus from the Apple or Google Play stores today. USA Today Sports Plus, fan harder. Drum roll, please. Here is Jason. As I just said, he is here to talk about the rest of the divisional round games with me because we want to talk about it and we want to give you some advice if you are looking to make any bets. Well, before we even get into the numbers side of things and, you know, why you like certain matchups from a betting standpoint, when you look at the divisional round games, what do you think the marquee matchup is? What game are you most excited as a fan to watch?
As a fan of football, first off, hello, welcome. as a fan of football, there are two games this weekend that honestly excite me, and I'm sorry to say to my fellow Cincinnati brethren, sistren, people here in the Republic, it's not Bengals-Titans. I am super stoked to watch Kansas City Buffalo on Sunday evening. And I'm also stoked to see how the 49ers and Packers unfolds. I've been listening.
I would have thought you're big on Rams Bucks.
I will.
Because you love Tom Brady.
I do. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Anyways, I love listening to sports talk radio. It's what I do all day from, 7 a.m. on. Everyone is of the opinion that if Aaron Rodgers just shows up and is Aaron Rodgers, the 49ers have no chance. Yeah. Have they not watched the type of football that the 49ers play? Now, granted, Jimmy Garoppolo last week tried to give Dallas that game. He tried his best.
I know, we were texting like, is he really going to do this?
It was unreal. If there are Jimmy Garoppolo moments, 49ers are probably donezo. But I'm intrigued by that. And then Buffalo, Kansas City, two teams that absolutely blew out, took to the woodshed. Kansas City had, was it Travis Kelce throw a touchdown pass to an offensive lineman, right?
Yep.
Like they just got in their bag of stupidity because it was so out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to watch that game because neither team honestly was forced to show anything beyond, oh, I'm going to take you out to the woodshed and just boat race the crap out of you. So I'm very excited for those two games.
Well, and remember the tweet that went viral of Stephon Diggs staying on the field, watching the Chiefs, their trophy ceremony after they won the AFC Championship last year?
Yeah, I mean,
The Bills want this one.
The Bearcats had a player do that after the Peach Bowl last year, and oh boy.
That didn't really
help. I'm sorry to bring that up. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I don't buy into that stuff.
I mean, here's what can't happen. The Bills cannot get blown out. I feel like the Bills are, you know, on the cusp and everybody.
Now, are you saying that as can't in a way of
like public perception?
Okay,
like,
okay. You weren't saying like it's not possible.
No, I mean, shoot.
Because through Patrick Mahomes, all things are possible.
Exactly. And I mean, when Josh Allen is on, the Bills are really good, but they've been so inconsistent all year. I just have really a hard time picking them, and I have a hard time picking against Mahomes in prime time. He just knows when to turn it on. But I just think that this game is huge for the Bills in terms of the turning point with their fans and just their legitimacy in the NFL, because they've been knocking on the door. And this year was the year I think they came into the season with major expectations of, it's not just acceptable to make it to the playoffs. We need to beat the Chiefs. That is the team we got to knock off. And I think if they have a showing where they don't look good against the Chiefs, then it's not even close. That could be some trouble for the Bills up there.
So hear me out. The Bills, if you were to take the eight teams remaining in the playoffs and make them a group of eight siblings, mm-hmm. the Bills are the unstable, highs are super high, but lows are super low, youngest sibling, right?
Yeah.
They need momentum.
Right.
And the two bookends of my statement on that, them losing at Jacksonville, but them absolutely curb stomping the Patriots. If they get off to a good start, the defense and the offense both somehow click. Mm-hmm. They cannot withstand. I don't know why. I don't know if it's a coaching thing. I don't know if it's a Josh Allen thing. They cannot withstand, like we've seen the Bengals do a few times this year, the Chiefs done, the Packers have done, good teams have done. They can't withstand a slow start or a slow middle. They have got to ride a wave the entire time, or else they do fall apart and they lose to some bad teams.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't even pick that game. But anyways, let's start it off with I know you won't usually wait until last to talk about the Bengals, but they're the first game of the weekend.
They kick the weekend off, so let's do it.
Let's talk about it.
All right. So in the gambling world, mm-hmm. sports betting world, the divisional round was always known as blowout weekend because mm-hmm. you would have the crappy wild card matchups. And then whoever won those would go on the road and lose by three touchdowns.
Right.
Not the case anymore now that the NFL's changed the format. The first weekend is blowout weekend.
The Bengals Raiders was the best game of the weekend.
Yeah, besides Jimmy Garoppolo trying to lose, that was the only good game of the weekend. So here we go. Bengals are riding a wave of emotion. Usually that's bad for a team, but the guy they have leading the team, not Zach Taylor, I know he leads the team. Whatever. The guy who leads them on the actual field, Joe Burrow, I just don't sense that this guy has a pulse or that registers on his radar of like, this was so huge. I mean, you were in the press conferences with him. He's downplaying it on purpose, like all that stuff. So I look for a measured performance this week. I think, and I've told people, a couple of my friends, this is going to be the T. Higgins game. Hmm. Guy who was mostly unheard from last week.
He's from Tennessee.
Probably going to have a ton of family and friends there. And this Bengals offense, the Titans are going to have to pick. Who do you want to shut down? Do you want to shut down Jamar? Do you want to do what Oakland did, which is guarantee some kind of shade on him every single play? Okay, well, it's time for T. Higgins to step up, or C.J. Uzomah or Tyler Boyd. But I think this is the T. Higgins game. I think the Bengals go in, get off to a decent start, and I think Tennessee's game plan of controlling the clock and limiting the amount of times Joe Burrow has the ball isn't gonna work out for him. I like the Bengals outright to win, by more than reverse spread. One of my favorite bets of all time is doing reverse spread. So in this game, the reverse spread would be Bengals minus 3.5. Right. I like them to win by a touchdown. I see this as a 31-24 game. I think the over hits 47.5, by the way.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bengals getting 3.5, Tennessee minus 3.5, the over under set at 47.5. Now, I say all this, and just for the playoffs, for the remainder of the playoffs, when we talk about them, I'm going to give the folks at home or in their car or on the bus, wherever they're listening, I'm going to give them some extra insight. So right now in this game, Tennessee is getting 59% of the money being bet on the game. But here's the kicker, and this is my favorite thing to do. They're getting 83% of the overall bets. You know what that's called? That's called betting against the public. So if 83% of the betting public is on the Titans this week to cover the 3.5, man, do I like that 17%. You know why? Sportsbooks don't lose money.
Yeah.
That's my insight for this game. Like I said, Tennessee majority of the money and an incredible amount of the bets. They're actually the heaviest bet team this week. Huh. So the general public has no faith in the Bengals. So I'm going the other way.
Okay. That's fair. Look, I'm picking the Titans, but like I said,
do they cover a field goal and a half point, 3.5, or is this a field goal game? What do you think?
I think they cover by more than a field goal.
Okay. Fair enough.
I do. I think you're looking at more of like a 20. I said 24 earlier, but I don't know. I don't think the Titans or the Bengals score more than 30 points. So okay. I'm looking between 24 to 27. I think the Bengals may score like, I don't know. I could just see the Titans really dialing up the pass rush against Burrow. And it's been so incredible to watch Burrow basically overcome having a mediocre offensive line.
100%, yeah.
But at some point in the playoffs, it matters. And Mike Vrabel's undefeated coming off of a bye week. So that's why I'm picking them. But okay. I do think it's going to be not just a field goal because of what you were mentioning. The Titans want to bleed the clock out, control the game. So. Yeah.
And I'm just going to throw one more thing in this game out there, then we can move on.
Okay.
The reason I said do they cover more than the field goal is because in the back of my head, person who's seen – Kenyon Martin's ankle break,
yep.
Who's seen the terrible crap that's happened to the Bengals, who's seen the Reds go up 3-0 and then get reverse swept out of the playoffs by the Giants, who ended up winning the World Series. What if Randy Bullock kicks a winning field goal in this game? And all the fat Randy stuff that was going on for the past few years here in the Republic of Cincinnati comes just crashing down on our fans.
Yeah. But honestly, regardless of what happens, if the Bengals lose, I don't think Bengals fans should be upset.
Like, unless they get blown out.
If they
just don't show up. Defied
all of the odds and you're playing the AFC's number one team. I know that people want to hate on the Titans because Ryan Tannehill is average.
In the worst division in football.
But they won 12 games this year.
In the worst division in football.
All right.
It's like everyone that was gassing up the Eagles. They won the second worst division in football.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
And the NFC least. All right. So let's move on to the second game of the day. The 49ers at Packers. Holy cow. This is going to be, I think, a game must-see TV. And I'm kind of bummed because I'll be working for most of it. So I'll be relying on your updates.
I'll be there for you. I got you. I found it odd that this game had the biggest spread of the weekend. 5.5.
Yeah.
And like I said earlier, I'm intrigued to watch this. You never know, right? Like the Bengals and Packers played in week 5, I believe. Mm-hmm. And it looked like neither team wanted to win the game. It was that crappy kick fest at the end.
Yes.
But then the 49ers came in here, and if not for fourth quarter heroics from Joe Burrow, would have run the Bengals out of their own stadium.
Yeah.
So that's the common opponent that I've seen. Mm. They both play in the NFC, obviously. I don't know. I don't trust Jimmy Garoppolo. And everyone out there I know, he went to a Super Bowl, yes, with an incredible defense and – just a great run of health and all that around him. But he's Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Like, he tried to give the Dallas Cowboys the game last week, not on purpose, obviously, but just by being the fact of him being Jimmy Garoppolo. Everyone says that in the playoffs, you got to have a quarterback, blah, blah, blah. You got to have an offensive defensive line. 49ers have two of those three. They do not have a quarterback that I would trust to go win a playoff game. I did not make the pick until we started talking, and that's why I've had diarrhea of the mouth here. I'm trying to
stall.
I'm gonna take Green Bay -5.5.
Okay.
At -112, which is, you know, what the general public's betting. By the way, in this game, similar to Bengals Titans, Green Bay is getting 57% of the money, but only 60% of the bets. So there's a lot of people out there that believe in the 49ers. Over under, I like the under. It's a -117. There's almost no value there, but 47.5, just like Bengals Titans. I would take the under. What say you, Kelsey?
I don't think there's any way Aaron Rodgers lets this team lose. I think I agree with you. I think the Packers cover the spread. I'm not sure right now if – I don't know if it's out yet if Nick Bosa is going to play. But if they don't have him, I know he didn't practice yesterday. I think, yes, they have a very good defensive line. But I just think Aaron Rodgers, they worked so hard for that bye all year. They kept playing so that they could make sure the – NFC ran through Lambeau. I think there's no way that Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams, Aaron Jones, those guys at any point get upset. I think the game will be close early on, but at the end, Rodgers and co. finds a way to win this game.
All right. We are in agreement there. So moving on.
All right. Now let's move on to Sunday.
They get to find out who their opponent's going to be.
Yes.
First game of the day.
All right. So let's talk about it. Bucks. Rams, who you got?
Oh, man. After watching what the Rams did to Arizona, and I know it's a Cliff Kingsbury team. I know Kyler Murray is not tall enough to ride half the rides at Kings Island. I get that. And looks scared.
That's good. Kyler Murray taller than me, by the way,
no,
for those
not.
Listening? I'm 5'2".
No, he's not. because you have to put him on the scale of other football players. Yeah. He's the tiny man. I've never seen a – anyways. It's like when Muggsy Bogues are played in the NBA. Anyways, watching what the Rams did to them.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about what Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp did.
Cooper Kupp didn't even do anything in the game.
I know, but they spent so much of their defensive energy on him. And then they just got – like that offense just ran whatever they wanted to run. Like Sean McVay – could have done the whole blindfold me and I'm playing Madden and they still would have scored however many points they wanted.
He somehow reinvented Sony Michel's career. It's amazing.
He's boy genius, right?
Yeah.
But watching the way that defensive front controlled mm-hmm. that game
yeah.
and as unhealthy as the Buccaneers are on the offensive line right now, mm-hmm. I am shocked that they are 2.5-point underdogs
yeah.
here.
And they beat the Bucs earlier this year.
They controlled the game. Mm-hmm. Like, I know it was in L.A., so say whatever you want about that. These guys are pros. I don't put that much stock in that. But I don't see how the Bucs win this game.
No, I agree with you. I'm taking
the
Rams.
Like, I love Tom Brady. I will gladly, anyone who ever wants to listen
Jason's
to me drone
wearing
on.
His Tom Brady jersey. No,
I kidding. Wish I was. But – I'll drone on about how much I love the guy, how much I love yeah. the way he runs an offense, all that stuff all day long. I see Aaron Donald in his face all day.
Mm-hmm.
I see
Von
Miller. I see Brady getting thrown to the ground plenty of times, having grass all over his jersey. That run game's not going to get going with that defensive front that the Rams have. And Matthew Stafford, like the Bucs secondary, not special mm-hmm. right now.
Nope, I think this is not a good matchup for Brady, and I think he knows it. I think the biggest thing in this game, and you were just hinting at it, but I, as someone who covered a Super Bowl with Tom Brady on the other side of the field and covered a team that was in the same division as Tom Brady, I feel like I've seen this is how you beat Tom Brady. The biggest thing that he can't handle is pressure. And the Bucs had the best offensive line for majority of the year. Well, their best tackle, Tristan Wirfs, is injured. They're also dealing with a couple
their
injuries.
Right guard
their right guard.
Is limping everywhere, yeah. yeah.
And their center, Ryan Jensen's also dealing with an injury. So I think this matchup spells trouble. Obviously, the Bucs' defensive game plan, the Rams' defensive game plan this year against them in the first round was awesome. The Rams had a great defensive game plan against the Cardinals. I think you got to take the Rams, even though they're on the road. I know everybody says it's Tom Brady in the playoffs. Listen, I think the Rams win this one.
Yeah, as much as it pains me to say it, and I like him to win outright, that is a plus 120 right now on the Tipico board. Like I said, Rams getting 55% of the bets, but Tampa Bay – or sorry, I hadn't said that yet. The Rams are getting 55% of the bets, so the public agrees with us. Not by a huge margin. But the Bucks minus 2.5 is getting 65% of the money.
Right.
That means the sharp players in Vegas still think the Bucks pull this out, win by a field goal. Because so whenever you have that disparity of percentage of bets versus percentage of money,
right,
that's where the sharp money is.
Well, give me your score prediction. You think they cover the spread?
I'm going way – so I think the Rams went outright, but I'm going way under. The over-under in this game is 48.5. Under is minus 108. So you and I, like me at least, I am on the complete opposite side of the book on this. I think the Rams win 24-10.
Not even close.
Brady's going to throw a pick six.
Okay. Wow. Well, I'm going to give Brady a little bit more than that. I have 24, I think, is a good number, but I'm going to give him like at least 17 points. So
okay. Still, we're not scaring that over.
No. Okay. All right. Let's move on to the final game of the weekend, the game that we talked about to start this podcast, the game that we think is the best game of the weekend. Who are you rolling with? Are you putting your money on Mahomes? Or are you a fighting Josh Allen supporter this weekend?
I want to see Josh Allen do well. I want to see a legendary showdown. Two gunslingers at the OK Corral. I want to see Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes just
duke it out.
Yes. Yeah. I want to see that turf so worn out from them going up and down, up and down. That's what I want to see. It's the highest over under the week, 54.5. I would take over even if it was 57, to be honest. I think that's what we're going to get. But in the end, I can't ride against Pat Mahomes, not in the postseason. He's never lost at Arrowhead in the postseason. Andy Reid, as he showed last week, when he was when he was probably on like page 17 of his playbook, just like, oh, this looks funny. Let's try that play. Like, they had basically half a bye week because they didn't even have to play in the second half of that game, honestly. So I'm going to ride with Kansas City minus the 2.5. I'm going to take the over of 54.5. And for everyone out there, Buffalo is getting 80% of the money to cover the 2.5. Kansas City is getting 64% of the bets. Huh. So the sharp bettors think they're in on something. Maybe they think that Buffalo got over that hump by just curb stomping the Patriots last week. I don't know. But yeah, I was blown away when I saw 80% of the money.
Right.
So what say you?
I'm rolling with you too. I think the Chiefs win this game. And I think it's going to – I'm with you on taking the over because I think it's going to be an absolute shootout. Don't have a final score prediction because I would just be guessing at this point. But
64-60. No.
I just think like – I would at least say the Chiefs win by at least a touchdown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Some good games.
So to recap, I'm going Bengals to win outright. Take the 3.5 if you want. Green Bay to cover the 5.5. The Rams to win outright, but take the 2.5 if you want. And Kansas City to cover the 2.5 and the over in that game. And you are opposite me on Bengals Titans. You think Tennessee covers the 3.5. And that's it, right?
Yeah, that's the only one. Yeah.
So we're going to go 1-3. Or I'm going to go 1-3. The Bengals are going to win. My other three bets are going to lose. And then, so that's what's going
to
happen there.
Well, we'll see. We will see. And as always, we will be back next week to break down championship weekend. Who knows? Maybe we'll also be breaking down Bengals making a run for an AFC championship, but we'll see. But Jason, real as quick, always, pleasure, and I'll let you close it out.
Real quick for the folks out there, before I get to my spiel about being responsible when you do this, if you had to choose right now, Buffalo or Kansas City to work in next weekend on Sunday, which city would you rather be working in?
Kansas City, no doubt.
You're a barbecue person?
And I don't do cold. Buffalo, too cold for
Kansas
me.
Kansas City, pretty damn cold.
I know, but it's not as cold as Buffalo.
All right, I'll give you that. With the wind coming off the lake, does get gnarly. Okay.
And I love me a pulled pork sandwich with some mac and cheese. And I've actually never been to Arrowhead, so that would be fun.
It's I'll spoil the surprise for you.
Not that good.
You would think flying into an NFL city, like, oh, the stadium's within a reasonable distance. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pack the bags, 30 minutes away. Huh. It's ridiculous.
Interesting.
But anyways, this was fun. And I want to remind everybody out there that this is all about fun. Everything we talk about here, this is not professional gambling advice. We are not guaranteeing anything. We are definitely not professional. but all lines and odds are courtesy of Tipico Sportsbook. Tipico is a partner of Gannett Company, Inc., our parent company. Gannett can and does make money off of that partnership. And like I said earlier, I want to remind everybody out there to please bet responsibly. And if you or anybody you know has a problem with gambling, please contact 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll see you next weekend.